It's 7 p.m. And do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
I'll second.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. Thank you, Commissioner Adams. All right. First thing on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we'll have a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Mr. Lancaster, you got anything? It's first thing on the agenda, you know, 15-minute time period for some comments. Okay. Next thing on the agenda is the July 18th, 2023 city meeting minutes. Is there any corrections that need to be done? Is everything fine?
I just told her she had an extra statement in there twice. Right. That was what I gave her just now. And, yeah, everything's fine.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes. I'll make that motion.
All right. Do I hear a second? Commissioner Adams, thank you for your motion.
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Financial reports, they were distributed out. Anybody find any problems with them? All right. Do I hear a motion to accept the financial reports for July 2023?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. Do I hear a second?
I'll go ahead and second.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And the expense sheet's going around. Old business.
Expenses.
Yeah, it's at... I said it's going around.
Okay.
Old business. Does any commissioners have anything for old business? If not, we'll, the city attorney or the city legal service. All we've had is Mr. DeWeese's come to the meeting last month, and he answered questions very honestly and openly, and I know that Commissioner Maupin and Commissioner Beville have had dealings with them through their associations. So he sent us a letter of engagement about a month ago. I resent it out with the paperwork that I sent out for the meeting. And if I'd like to make a motion to just go ahead and do the engagement letter with Mr. DeWeese, because it is just a month to month. There's not a long term or a you know, fixed period, so that, but we need to probably go ahead and move forward, because it's obvious nobody else is interested in doing this. So I'll make the motion to go ahead and work with Mr. DeWeese on the engagement letter, to make sure that, you know, we get the stuff right in it. Is there any objections? Do I hear a second?
No, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All right. We'll do a roll call, though. Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Commissioner Metcalf?
Yes.
Commissioner Mulpin?
Yeah.
And Mayor Sturm, yes. Okay. All right. We talked about a property last month that did an unpermitted construction. And as of the, I think it was the 28th of July, they put a stop order on the build. And from the documentation that I'm reading on the building permit website, the stop order has the next inspection date, I believe, is August 25th, which is either Monday or Tuesday of next week. Must be Monday or Tuesday. So I wanted to keep you all informed on it. That structure's still up. They haven't even attempted to start taking it down. So.
And they were. It was ruled for them to remove it?
Yes. The permit was denied. And I've got a copy of the stop order if you want to have one for the documentation. But I wanted to bring that up and let you know that the reason, again, why that all got started was because the neighbors brought it to our attention. Okay, the litter problem doesn't seem to be there down at the picnic tables. The plastic bags, the bags that we've got down there keep getting trash put into them. So I guess our venison mind talks to the perpetrators, suspected perpetrators, must have done some good. So, again, it's working out.
I did have something to say about Mason. I misunderstood what he was saying last month at the meeting. I thought he was saying that we were going to get a used garbage can from Indian Springs, but he just sent me to a website that much like what I already saw, where they're like $1,000. So I'm just going to keep in touch with Mason and see if I can get him when he's going to buy a bulk order
okay.
from somewhere else. And I'll see if I can piggyback on his bulk order.
Okay, well, like I said, the plastic bags are working. They're not tearing them up and throwing the stuff around. So I'm hoping this will work out. Because with the trash can, somebody's got to empty it. And where we can just pick the plastic bags up once they get full enough. They're only still half full. They're only getting like one or two probably pieces in every week.
Yeah, Maximus Lawn Care commented that it was fine now too. You know, that there's just a little bit blowing around here and there, and he picks it up, and so he's happy as well.
Okay, good. All right, on the back page of the full agenda is the, this is the, unless we have something else that I don't know about, this is the final adjustment to the fiscal year 2023 budget worksheet. The stuff that is in the black with the white lettering or digits is the changes that were made this time, in fact yesterday, that I went through. The only thing that, like I said, the only thing that we have on our budget ordinance is the revenue amount and the expense amount. But the thing is it would be nice if we just kept our subline items in line in budget. That's why I made the adjustments, so that we would look like we're keeping an eye on our line items. So is there any question about what I've done to show where we're at? See, the column on the left is where we started at in fiscal year 23. The column on the right is the suggested amounts because of what's in the column in the center. The column in the center is the actual expenses and revenues that we got for each one of the items. and the right column I was trying to keep so that it would be more than what we expensed. I know some of them look higher than others, but I want to also keep the amounts as much as possible in the full item, like where it says total media expense. It started at $10,500, and we got it's down to $7,250 because we used some of that money down here in the utilities a couple of months ago when we had to account for the Rumpke adjustment. On the operating, on the maintenance, we upped it $2,000, thinking we're going to have a couple of extra, pretty close amount on it. But because of, I guess in June, we cut them back. You know, there wasn't that much needed to be done.
Yeah, I thought we went over $26,000 in June, but I guess not.
Yeah, well, I had Dan check these numbers, so.
On the right column, the snow removal's at $8,300 because that's about what we spent this year. But shouldn't that have been, aren't you trying to project that to be higher than $8,300? Aren't you wanting $40,000 in that?
Well, yeah, $8,300. We had to use some money down in the utilities. Okay.
Oh, 2023 numbers. These aren't 2021.
Huh? These are 23. This is fiscal year 23. Yeah, we moved numbers around in the spring after the snow so we could cover these higher amounts.
I got what you're saying. This is 23. We're starting fiscal year 24, right?
Right, we're starting 24, okay. Right.
I got you.
Okay. The numbers that I moved around yesterday are the ones with the black background and the white lettering. Okay. And I wanted you to know I made those moves. So is there any questions? All right.
I'm good.
I make a motion we finalize the fiscal year 2023 budget worksheet with the numbers as presented.
I'll make that motion.
No, I made the motion.
Oh, sorry, I'll second.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Adams, for the second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. It's 100%. I'll send this to you tomorrow. Dan. All right. Let's see. I've got to turn it back over and see where I'm at. All right. We still got a few months on the salary schedule plan. And I didn't know. Well, Linda's not here tonight. So, again, if we want to discuss it, we can discuss it, or we can just move along, whatever you want to do.
I'm fine with moving along.
Okay. Everybody fine with moving along? Okay, we'll table it for another month. All right. Communication checks. Channel 16 for communication checks. Is there anything else we need to discuss in old business?
The plants, if I go buy plants, how does that work? Do I pay for it with my own credit card and do the tax exempt thing and then expense that?
What plants?
If I'm going to buy any plants. For the
okay.
Islands or anything?
Well, I guess I got the credit card.
Okay.
So, if you want to, if we're going to do plants, I don't think the plants, when's the plants go on sale?
It's good. It'll be coming up in the next couple of weekends. I'll keep watching for it.
Okay.
I will email you all. It's Frank Ott's on Barstown Road.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their bushes 50% off.
Is that the one out by
the side Krispy Kreme donuts?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the reason, you know, they're such a good buy is these are healthy, big plants. They're not small, you know.
Okay.
So And they have a wonderful selection of, like, crepe myrtle. Just be sure that you may want to ask. I might come when y'all go because I would like to get some bushes. But anyway, the crepe myrtle, some will grow straight up and some will grow out.
Okay.
So you have to make sure that they're in the right spot.
Right, yeah. And then to Harold, and he's like, where are we going to put them? And I'm like, I don't really know.
Well, they have other bushes, though. I mean, yeah. You may find something that's...
I'd like to replace that one on the front island, or the front entrance, because this one's got...
Yeah, and you would probably want something that would be shorter.
Yeah.
And because you don't want to block people's
view. The problem that I'm seeing is, if we don't have any irrigation up there, and we don't have any irrigation on Boyden, I'm hesitant to plant stuff. Like, is it going to die?
Well, you get drought resistant, and there are some drought resistant bushes.
Okay.
That's what, well, crepe myrtle are a great example. We don't water ours, you know. So, but they usually have a lot of staff there,
okay. And
they're very helpful. Of course, they're knowledgeable.
Okay.
Do you think Carol would like to go?
He'd be down for it, I think. I'm going to be out of town Labor Day weekend, so I'm hoping that it's not then. I can stay like that morning, that Saturday morning. But I was going to go out of town for the weekend, so. I'm hoping it's the weekend before that.
Yeah, I'll keep watching.
Okay.
They usually run it on a Friday too, like Friday, and it may be Labor Day weekend. I know one year in the past, though, it was like the weekend before, and then they ran it again
okay. The
next weekend.
Yeah,
so.
And I've had somebody, like, request off work that Friday that I can do her job, and I'm like, great. I don't know what time I'm getting off that Friday before Labor Day. So
right.
Like,
yeah. Well,
Frank, they stay open until, like, 9 or 10 o'clock, right?
No, I think they close earlier, maybe, like, 7.
Okay.
Yeah. But they may open like 7 to 7 because they have landscapers that come purchase from them.
Okay, well, get with Harold and see if he wants, you know, if you can't be here, then Harold and I can go.
Yeah.
Okay? Because he would know what to plant. He's the plant man.
Yeah.
You know?
And I've got some lambs here that are freaking huge that I want to like split up and donate to the city, so you can plant some of that somewhere too, I think.
Okay.
It spreads pretty fast. I don't know.
I've
got a Juga. A Juga is very hardy. It's a ground cover. If you have any bald spots, I've got starts of a Juga. It has stems of beautiful periwinkle color, but it's early spring. It's an early spring ground cover, but it will take over.
Yes.
Like lamb's ear.
Yeah, I didn't know how much lamb's ear spread until the summer.
Sure will.
Yeah, like I planted it last year and it was little and now it's like huge.
Yeah, and I have hens and chickens that they're just growing over each other. I've got to spread
this year has been a great year for plants because I have had an overabundance of those berries coming off the trees, and my vines that have the berries, they're extensive, so I suspect we're going to have a cold winter because I now have some leaves on my maple tree on the north side of the maple tree that are starting to turn.
Yeah, there's some turning in the wood.
Right, so that's a pretty good indication we may get some early cold weather.
But, you know, with the crepe myrtle, after the winter we had, I lost 2 bushes in my front, which I'm going to have taken out. But the crepe myrtle looked like it died, but it came back. Beautiful. It's beautiful.
All the crepe myrtle look great this year.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them. Okay. If you'll do that.
All right, I'll get
you. Yeah, I'll email you as soon as I get notification.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, anything else for old business? All right, moving along to new business. Anybody got any new business they want to talk about?
No, I've noticed that the buses are going in places they didn't decor. They're coming back in our neighborhood.
I followed. You're talking about the main buses?
Yeah, oh, okay. School buses. Yeah,
school.
So
I followed them around on opening day. And you could tell that the bus drivers were really confused.
Yeah.
They were stopping at places they don't normally stop, and then they would sit there, and then they would open the door and turn the lights on. And they all had a cheat sheet. But anyway.
Yeah.
They looked like they were practicing.
Yeah. I was just hoping it would alleviate the congestion at Murphy and Nansman and Murphy and Tazewell. Because
well,
that is dangerous
that,
in think. The mornings.
Yeah.
My daughter has to walk into Oakhurst to get to her bus stop. It's not even in Worthington.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was not real happy. I did some hypotheticals with the daycare down the street. And I was like, the daycare to Tansy. You have to take the kids from the daycare into Coldstream to catch the bus to go to Chansey. So I'm like, they took away the bus stop for the daycare. So I went to a thing on Sunday. State legislators were there and they had a little public forum. So I'm lobbying them to get with JCPS to get a bus stop back there. But I don't know. I mean, my kids aren't in elementary school, so I don't know if the home school for Worthington Hills is Chansey. It might be Norton Elementary or
no, I think it's Chansey. But my son had to walk from my house to the corner of Murphy and Nansman, and I tried so hard to get it moved back, and they refused to do it.
Yeah, I
there's been car accidents there when the kids are out there. There's been a man exposing himself in the apartment.
Yeah, I didn't try it at the time because I was like, they're not going to do it. But now that they've had this huge an ordeal, I was like, well, I guess it's worth a try to ask. So I asked them to move. You know, I said, as a citizen of Worthington Hills, I would think you would have a bus stop for my daughter in Worthington Hills. I mean, even if it's at Peterson or something, you know, but it's not.
Yeah,
they have to walk into Coldstream where Middlesex is, like Middlesex and like, forget what it was. But
yeah,
like,
that's too much.
And, or you have to go all the way up past the white fences toward Cronin and Halifax is where the bus stop is for my daughter.
Well, then you have cars parking along the street.
Yeah, and I was there the first day, and there was they didn't know which way the bus was coming, so a car was on Cronin, and they were, of course, violating the ordinance and parking right next to the stop sign, and the bus came up, and they honked at them to get out of the way.
Yeah. I don't know what the solution is.
Well, let me say this much about the bus idea about different shifts. What they haven't taken into account is rush hour.
Yeah, I don't think they drove the buses during actual real
time. No, they we saw the buses running at 10, 11, 12, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. They were driving the routes, but they weren't driving during the traffic. So here again, another fluke on their part.
But yeah, I guess I'll say for any citizens that listen to this that have kids in school, you can call your kids' school and they will put in a request to move the bus stop for you. It may or may not work, but you can request that through your child's school.
Well, the problem is, number one, there's not enough school bus drivers.
Yeah.
And there will never be enough school bus drivers as long as they have a discipline problem
in Jefferson
County
correct.
School system.
Yeah.
My last ex-wife, was a school bus driver and had her life threatened by three people. They were to cut her if she did not take them home. And that's when she left Ballard. I'd go into the story, but the bottom line, she ended up getting talked to by her supervisor the next day because she didn't wait. Well, when she went back to Ballard with the kids and they went with the principal, she didn't wait. She went on a route. And she got talked to by the supervisor the next day because the principal called up and complained that she didn't wait until he came back out with them girls. So, again, that didn't take her long. I told her straight up, there's no way I'd ever drive a school bus. And within 2 weeks, she quit. So that's your problem. As long as there's a discipline problem in Jefferson County school system, you know, they need to have these kids learn how to respect authority and quit worrying about, you know, being sued. When they're in the school, they need to be behaving and acting like human beings instead of some of the ways they act. All right. The lockbox. Now, I'm going to hold off handing these out because there's a lot of work in them, but I sent you copies of these today, okay? Or yesterday, whatever it was. When we aren't doing taxes, property tax, if you'll notice, and I gave you some samples, we don't get, all we're doing is paying for the lockbox and the maintenance of it. There's not anything on it. We're going to talk about this next month when Linda's here. But I want to, since Dan here is here, we've done a little bit of talk, not a whole lot. But Dan, what type of quality of images do you get sometimes on there?
Sometimes not the easiest to read. It's like they've been faxed two or three times and scanned. And I can read them, but it's, you have to like enlarge it really quickly.
Yeah. And the other thing is they charge us for viewing our archived images. Now, that's another thing that I want to wait and talk to find out if every time Dan logs in to view the images, is that a charge for us? And how are we supposed to do anything with the images if we can't view them? You know, we get the money put into our money market account, but you know, Dan has to document what portions go to each one. And this past tax period, I had, you know, because some of the tax-paying services were sending us, and the big one was CoreLogic. They normally send the stuff to the lockbox, but for some reason they sent them to our general mailbox this year. But
the
mailbox
is on the letter.
Yeah, but they don't get the letter. The letter goes to the taxpayers. The tax services usually get, they request a survey from us, like Wells Fargo. Definitely call and ask for a survey on how to get to how to pay the tax bills this year. I think Loretta did too. But we didn't get anything from CoreLogic this year. And as such, we got to see a lot. And even some of the smaller tax paying services, there was somebody's spreadsheet come through that the lines were just a little bit, I mean, they were about as wide as that paper clip. Reading anything off of them is sometimes real difficult. And if they had been scanned over the lockbox, I'm not even sure Dan could have read them, because they were so skinny. I mean, it was like a font, a 10 font. I mean, it was small. I'm having to bring them up like this just to see, you know, what you got. So I'm going to bring these back again next month so we can talk about this lockbox, okay? Because there are some, I need to get with Independence Bank and see what this viewed archived images is all about. If we're having to pay to look at our own, you know, images, if Dan has to go in two or three times, then that is concerning to me, because he could be doing work on one of them and then have to go to something else to get a client come in, and then he has to open it back up. You know, we get charged again for him looking at it a second time.
My guess is that it's not archived until after a certain amount of time.
Huh?
My guess is that it wouldn't be archived until it's a certain, like, say a year old, they archive everything.
No, they're saying view archived images.
Is there a dollar amount on there?
Yeah. Yeah. They charge us a nickel for every time you view something. Look on...
there's no charges, though.
No. That's on June. Go to the next page in July. Backside. back page.
No, right there. It says 5:27.
Yeah. They even charge us for return. There's something up there that says correspondence, return envelope. I mean, if they're self-addressed in stamped envelope, they're still charging us 44 cents per envelope.
What's that for? Find that again?
It says correspondence, return envelope. In other words, you know how they get, they want a receipt probably?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So they send a self-addressed stamped envelope, but they still charge 44 cents just to print out the, you know, we got your mail, you know, or whatever they tell them.
Okay, if I can just say something, comparing last year to this year, where so much more came to our P.O. box this year than normal. Last year, the last 6 weeks, from July 1st to the middle of August, I received 181 checks. I copy them, scan them, send them to Dan. I do the bank deposit. That's part of my job. This year, that number went up to 555 checks. Because they weren't going to the lockbox.
It does put a lot more work on. I mean, I told Deb this, that this year was easier for me because the way she does it is I was able to read things easier, but she has to scan every one of those checks. If the check
was it
have a parcel ID on it, she'll put a parcel ID on it. For me, because I mark everything by parcel ID. So.
Well, the thing is they were still sending, even when we had the lockbox listed on the insert letter, they were still coming to the P.O. box from the residents.
There was only about 5 deposits made to the P.O. box, made to the lockbox this year.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And one of them was a check that maybe had 10 checks on it, so it was like a mortgage company that had multiple units. But so everybody got the same memo to change. I'm being sarcastic. I don't know how they got that memo. There's only one mortgage company that didn't get the memo to change it. So how they got it, I don't know. But everybody got it. It wasn't just like one company on, you know. Luke was like, oh, they must have just got the address wrong.
Well, that's why I want to discuss it next month when Linda's here. Because we can change how we're going to the mailbox on when we're getting those checks. I just, you know.
Change it how?
We go every day.
That really doesn't make a difference because. And explain if I misunderstand this. I can only deposit $300,000. I mean, $35,000 a day.
No.
So if we get all the checks at one time, I have to hold them into batches for different days. So why go to the post office different days? Why a bat? Just get them all at one time and.
They Independence sent me a notice. Well, this had been back when we first started that we had $32,000 in deposits, and I called Tracy about it, and she adjusted it. Okay.
Adjusted it to what?
I don't have a clue. I mean, she just basically adjusted up. I think she went up to $35,000 or $36,000. And I said that would only happen normally during the tax season. But we haven't had that problem.
That's because I sorted it. I spread it out over different days. So
why
did they
limit how much you can deposit in a day? That makes no sense to me.
It's probably some federal law, okay? I have no idea.
You need to ask them.
I will ask them what the reasoning is.
So if we had a piece of, if we had bought that land, and then we sold it for $100,000.
No, that is different.
Why?
Because it's one item.
So
they
can
see it's one transition.
Number of transactions.
They when she runs it through the meter, It's run the number of checks through. They're looking at each transaction.
So it's the number of checks, not the deposit total.
It could be.
Gave him a dollar amount.
It could be anything. I don't have the answer because I'm not a banker.
Well, you'll find out for us for next month.
I'll find out what's going on.
Great.
But here again is my thought is we're spending. Well, they just raised the rate. That's why we'll see what the new cost is per month coming in August, because they're raising the rates as of the 1st of August, supposedly 5%, but I never got a straight answer from them on what the 5% was for. I'm assuming it's for the lockbox maintenance, but it could be for the wholesale, complete, basic, whatever that is. So anyhow, when you start multiplying that, it could be what? How much is that about?
$1,000 a year.
Is it $1,000 a year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not quite. It's like $65 a month.
Yeah, for two months. Okay. 2 months worth of use is what it amounts to. Anyhow, moving along from that. I don't have anything else. Does anybody else have anything else? If not, we're going to move into the commissioner reports. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin.
8-3 received an email from a resident at 12202 Highway Court stating she had moved and wanted to make sure that she...
Can you speak up a little bit? I'm having a hard time hearing over here.
8-3, I received an email from a resident at 12202 Highway Court stating that she had moved and wanted to make sure that she wasn't responsible for any trash bills, etc. 8-4, I replied to her email and assured the resident that she would be responsible for any kind of trash bill. 8-6, drove the city for a streetlight check. 8-8, received voicemail from resident asking if the city has a junk pickup day. 8-8, I also replied to Commissioner Beville's email requesting Rumpke to avoid the curb on Voighton Court. I emailed and forward Commissioner Beville's email and pictures to Christopher Pierce with Rumpke. And I also asked him if Rumpke had ever offered the city a junk day. And as of today, I still haven't received a reply from him. 8-12, I called the resident in regards to the junk day question, and I told him that I didn't recall the city ever having a junk day, but that I had emailed Christopher Pierce and Rumpke for more info. And then I directed him to Louisville.gov for info on junk and shred days. 8-15, attended the city meeting and will participate in radio sessions, Commissioner Maytag.
All right, thank you.
I'll go next.
Commissioner Adams, go ahead.
My commissioner report is from July 19th to August 15th. I will participate in the radio checks with Commissioner Metcalf and everyone tonight, August 15th. There weren't any citizen requests or concerns this month. Advised Maximus Lawn Care that their quote was accepted for the tree down in green space near Rustburg Place. Advised Maximus Lawn Care to schedule the tree removal of the above-mentioned downed tree and also to trim the landscaping and remove the nearly dead bush at the front entrance. We'll continue to monitor the bushes and landscaping for wilting and stress. We'll continue to monitor the temperature and the rain and storms to determine the need for the sprinklers to be turned on. We've had a lot of rain, so I haven't had to do that. So that's good. Early in the morning of August 9th, I called Mayor Stoneham and 911 to report a disturbance and attempted home invasion occurring on Luray Court. Police arrived and the suspect was taken into custody and subsequently arrested. On Sunday, August 13th, I attended a public forum hosted by state legislators about the JCPS bus situation and lobbied to get a bus stop placed at Cayfield Academy for any children attending Chansey Elementary. I spoke with State Representative Tina
Bojanowski about the situation and told her that I find it unacceptable that daycare workers have to walk children down Middlesex Drive all the way into Coldstream in order for them to catch the bus to Chancy Elementary. That's it.
All right, thank you. Where's this bus stop in Coldstream?
Hang on one second. We get on Bus Finder, and I'll tell you for the record.
Is it on the other side of Bristol Bay?
It's Middlesex and one of the streets in Coldstream, like Winding Springs, maybe.
That's on the north side of Coldstream. Winding Springs.
Let me jump on Bus Finder okay. real quick, and I'll let you know.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Would be the end of Middlesex.
I know. I think I'm not saying the right street. Hang on.
Yeah, Winding Springs is in Middlesex is the end of Middlesex Drive. Go ahead, Commissioner McGaff.
Drove the city on multiple occasions. Went to the post office with Mayor Stoneman each Friday. Participated in radio checks after last city meeting. On 7/23/23, issued parking permit 3815 Northumberland Drive. On 7/29/23, issued parking permit to 4507 Mecklenburg Court. On 7/30/23, issued a parking permit to 4518 Mecklenburg Court. On 7/31/23, issued parking permit to 3902 Northumberland. On 8/5/23, issued parking permit to 4511 Lunenburg Drive and 4400 Bay Garden Court. On 8/8/23, at 1 a.m., received a call from Mayor Stone that he talked to Mr. Adams and an adult male was knocking on doors on Luray Court. He had been knocking on Harold Hall's door, and he advised her to call LMPD. When I got off the phone with the mayor, I went to the location, and I arrived. The police were on the scene. I talked to a police officer, and they had the individual in custody. We will do radio checks tonight on Channel 16.
All right, thank you.
That bus stop is at for 3800 Northumberland, which is Cakeville Academy. It's at Bay Tree Way and Middlesex Drive.
Okay, Bay Tree is at top of the hill after the dip.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a pretty long way.
Yeah, it's saying that it's 0.18 miles. And it's also saying that it picks up at 6:58 a.m. I'm not sure if Chancy switched to start at 8 o'clock or not.
They're probably going over to Forest Springs after they leave there.
But, I mean, if I had my kid in elementary school, if my kid was like a third grader and I went to that daycare, that would just be not efficient for me. If I dropped my kid off at 7:30, the bus, there is no bus. They used to pick up. I used to go to work, and they'd pick up right there at like 8:30, 8:40. There'd be all kinds of buses on Northumberland, and there just aren't now.
There's no bus drivers. As long as the government keeps paying people not to work, there'll be no bus drivers. And as long as there's no discipline, as long as there's a discipline problem.
Yeah.
And with the school kids, there'll be no bus drivers.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, if you can't, they need to do the leave it to Beaver. If the kids get out of hand, they lose their bus privilege. That's how it needs to be handled, period. Not too worried about the friggin' money for each kid. All right. Mayor's closing remarks. The city of Worthington Hills is a home rule city, but there are limits on what we have the authority to control with ordinances, and if we have an ordinance, we have to have the means to enforce it. Since COWH residents also pay Jefferson County property tax, COWH has opted to have Louisville Metro Jefferson County government to enforce their ordinances, codes, and regulations within the city of Worthington Hills. There are several areas of authority that COWH can never have control of. Planning and zoning is one of them. The agency is the sole approving or denying permits for new development, improvements to existing properties, replacement or improvements on HVAC, electrical, plumbing, etc. Honestly, the and this is from my point of view, honestly, the responsibility, liability, and enforcement factors associated with permitting are best left up to the appropriate Louisville Metro Jefferson County government agencies. The top-to-bottom echelon of authority is federal, state, county, and city. So if COWH doesn't have an ordinance covering an issue, and just the Louisville Metro Jefferson County government does, then they have the responsibility, liability, and authority to enforce. As a final recommendation to all COWH property owners or residents, if you ever get a response from Louisville Metro Jefferson County government employee stating they can't issue a permit or enforce a metro ordinance because you live in the city of Worthington Hills, ask that person for their full name and then ask them to email you a written statement justifying their response to you. If they won't do so, ask to speak with their supervisor and ask that person for their full name and title, and again ask them to email you a written statement justifying their response to you. Do this until you get the justification email or a letter from a Metro employee. So you'll have documentation if an issue or situation arises at a future date or time. Now, as my comments to this, the reason why I wrote this and stated this was because if anybody's been watching the news, a couple of days ago in western Pennsylvania, there was a house blow up. And it destroyed two other houses. And the last count that I heard, they had four dead in that incident. Now, they haven't stated what the issue is, okay? And I'm not going to speculate what it is, but I'm going to give an example. Because this happened, okay? This past month, or prior to last month, I told you in last month that Dennis and I had seen somebody changing out an HVAC at a house, gas furnace. Well, when all was said and done, we discovered that the company was no longer licensed to do business in Louisville, and they did not have a supervisor on site, which is required to be when they're changing out the HVAC. And the vehicle did not have their license number or their professional license number on it. Okay? That could pretty much be an example of why it's very important to have this permitting. Okay? Nobody knows what happened in this, but we need to make sure or the people and Worthington Hills need to understand permitting is for safety and also for property assessments. And safety is the main reason, especially when it comes to changing out certain types of equipment and building with electricity or plumbing or anything else in the house. So, again... we have this problem with Metro Louisville government employees. Some of these people down there think they don't understand that when Metro went to the combined government of city and county, they also took on the responsibility of county. And some of those departments down there still are thinking they're only responsible for Metro City, and that's not true. Those people, that's a city county government, that's what Metro is, and we can't do health department, we can't do planning and zoning, there's a few other things that we can't do also. Well, airport authority, we don't have the authority for airport because we don't have an airport, but there are things that they are responsible for. Public Works is still stuck on the fact that if they don't maintain a street, because, and they used the argument that we're a suburban city, but yet Public Works doesn't work on some of the streets out in the suburban areas. Okay? So again, it's Metro is all messed up. The departments are still thinking 34. I got an email where the guy saying, I've worked in Public Works for 34 years and we've never ever issued a permit for a driveway. And I'm like, you've worked for Metro for 34 years, but when Metro became a combined government, city and county, things changed. And I never got a response back from them. So, again, my main thing, my last, after this remarks, everything that I've said has been comments, but that's my comment. That's the reason why this was written, because we have people down in Metro. Even I've had residents tell me when they call 311, they tell them that they're not responsible to, you know, respond to anything that they're reporting. And that's not true.
What do you do? You go to Frankfurt, right? And you go to, because I've had to do that.
No, permitting's all done out of Louisville.
Well, I'm saying if you cannot get anywhere with Louisville, then you would go to a cabinet within Frankfurt.
I started copying Jason Nemus and I'm trying to think who the other person was that I copied. Our senator, Julie Adams, whatever her name is.
Julie Rocky Adams.
I started copying them once it got into the discussional stage, because Jason Nemus is on that merger committee. Oh, and I also put Connie Chung on them too. Connie Chung's on there. She used to be the president of the Jefferson County League of Cities. And she's on that committee also. I wanted them to start seeing these type of remarks. I also included Marcus Winkler. I think that's who
Winkler, yeah.
He's the head councilman down there now, okay? And his assistant help me out.
Kip
Etherby. So I had a whole list of all these people, because we have a good rapport with the permitting people, the people that we've been talking to on that unpermitted structure. They're right there with me. Okay, they were fighting along with us, saying that it's a required permit. Okay, so just to let you know, anytime a Metro employee is responding that they can't do anything because we live in City Warden Hills, start asking for their name. Make sure you have their name so you can document it. Have them give you your supervisor. Just go right up the line, because sooner or later you're going to reach somebody that knows what's going on. I finally did reach somebody that knows what's going on. Okay, so I got that issue resolved, but it was a full day Friday. Last Friday was a full day of nothing but emails back and forth. And most of it was because people don't know the structure on authority. And like I said...
Can you send us that so we have that?
Yeah.
I have the protocol for documentation.
Well, you can pull this. I can give you a copy of this.
Is that going to be on the website?
No, I'll give you a copy of this. Not a big deal. It'll be in the minutes.
Okay.
But the thing is people don't realize, okay, Louisville Metro Police can enforce Metro. They can enforce our ordinances. They can enforce Metro ordinances. They can enforce state ordinances. They can enforce federal ordinances. Federals can write down, you know, they go all the way. Anything that's a law at federal level has to be enforced. And we can't make any, even if we made an ordinance, it can't be more lax or more lenient than any level above us. In other words, Metro's grass is, I think, 8 inches. So we couldn't make an ordinance that says, well, we'll let you grow your grass to 10 inches. That's not allowed. Okay? We can, that's one of the reasons why we don't have ordinances when it comes to property maintenance, is because Metro has them. Why duplicate it? Why make it more difficult than it already is? You know, we already have ordinances at different levels of each level of government that we're required to abide by. And that's just all we have to understand is we're at the bottom. Now, we could basically say your grass can't be above 6 inches, but then we have to have a way to enforce it. Okay? And the only thing that we've got to enforce it is going to circuit court. And circuit court isn't going to deal with anything that we have. So it's not even worth having those type of ordinances. So again, this is pretty much an informational, public service informational type thing for our residents to know. You have to abide by Metro ordinances for anything that they have. And permitting is very important. It's for public safety, and it's also for property assessment.
And we have a Louisville ordinance that says you can't park close to a stop sign when you're dropping your kid off for the bus stop.
Yes, you do.
Don't park, what is it?
30 feet.
Park more than 30 feet away from the stop signs
right.
when you are waiting for the school bus.
Right. That is, those are parking ordinances, and there is an ordinance that tells all about it on the Metro. I'm thinking it's in section 7 in Title 7 is where they have the parking ordinances, and you're not really just parking, you're stopping. And what the problem is when you stop within that 30 feet, think about it. If you had somebody else parked there and you were trying to make that turn at the stop sign, you know, you run into the problem of you have to stop, you have to make the turn, and if there's another car making a turn, there might not be enough room. It's a real safety hazard to start with because there could be kids trying to cross the street. You can end up hitting them. There's a reason why it's 30 feet.
Oncoming cars.
Yeah. And if you watch Parking Wars, it's everywhere. You can't miss it. They write them up all the time for parking 30 feet from the stop sign, 20 feet from the crosswalk. So, and again, it's you just need to use common sense when it comes to the, when you're stopping. Stopping for the, let your kid off for the bus, keeping them safe from having bullies push around. And boy, I'll tell you what, I understand the whole problem, okay? But it gets crowded around them intersections. And last spring, there was one time I was coming into Pulaski Court because we used to have a bus stop right there at Pulaski and Ludenburg. And I was coming from Northumberland, heading on Ludenburg towards Pulaski. I turned left, and when I turned left, I turned right before the school bus got there and turned on their lights. The school bus was coming right, it was at right at Bay Run. So I made the turn, and as soon as I made that turn, there was a kid run straight across in front of me, not at the crosswalk, behind the car. I stopped, and no sooner than I got stopped and started again, once the kid got in front of me, here comes another one out from behind another car. So it's dark in the morning. People need to have their headlights on, by the way. That's another thing. Some of these cars don't realize, you don't see them. A dark gray or a black car driving on asphalt without their headlights on at dawn, they're almost invisible. So again, best practice is, before the sun comes up, so make sure you have your headlights on, even if it seems to be a light to you, because I've almost hit cars that I didn't even see. I come out of Oakhurst one day on the Murphy, And I had looked up towards Firehouse, and I didn't see anything. And by the time I got turned out on the Murphy, headed towards Westport Road, there was some guy on my tail. I did not see the car. And it was because he didn't have his headlights on. And he had a dark-colored car. So it happens. Okay? Is there anything else anybody wants to talk about before I ask for adjournment?
I'd like to confirm that the yard sale is again the third weekend of September.
Oh, thank you.
16th
yes.
and 17th.
Thank you. Yes. Yard sale, we had previously approved the third Saturday in September. So whatever date that is.
So it's just Saturday, not Sunday?
It's Saturday is the main day. The rain day is Sunday.
Okay, 16th and 17th.
Okay, 16th for the regular day and 17th for the rain day. What I would ask also...
is it the 16th and 17th? Or
it's a 16th. The rain day is a 17th.
So is it
right. Well, I'd like for the commission people to go out and actually see how many are participating. Because...
Well, I'll tell you, in my neighborhood, nobody does.
Well,
we can get them to.
Well, the thing is we put the signs out, and, you know, if we're not getting that much participation anyhow, I just would rather just not have a specified day, because they had yard sales all the time in the neighborhood anyhow. So... Again, Coldstream puts theirs out, and usually when they put theirs out, they'll come through the neighborhood anyhow. But, you know, putting the signs out, having them out there all week, it's, to me, if there's not that many people doing it, it's a waste of time. And, you know, it's like anything else. The same thing with the holiday decorations. I'm still a firm believer that needs to go away too, because there's only a handful, and it's always the same people most of the time getting the votes. So we'll talk about that later. But, yeah, the 16th for the yard sale, city yard sale, and the 17th is a rain day, if we have rain on the 16th. I think it rained in the morning of our spring one. But anything else? Thank you.
That's working that up.
And I had just realized on the calendar I won't be here next month. I'll be out of town for the meeting.
What meeting? Oh, you'll be out of town.
Yeah,
okay.
Next month.
All right. All right. Is there anything else before I ask for an adjournment? All right. If nothing else, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Y'all have a blessed evening. It is 8:03.